Amen. Thank you, Brother Waterhouse. Turn your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Thank you for being in church tonight. Never take it for granted that people will be in church. It's a choice, and you chose to be here. Thank you for that. Joshua chapter 1. And I'll start reading in verse 1. Follow along with me, please. I'll read till verse 8. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask for your help tonight as I look here in this passage. I pray, dear God, that you would help us tonight. Pray that you would use me. I pray that you give me your power. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be speaking tonight. I do ask that you would bless Pastor, bring him back, of course, later this week. And I pray that you would comfort the people there, Gospel Light. And we've lost a great man this week. And I just pray, dear God, that you give grace now in that service is our prayer. And bless this service. Help us, dear Holy Spirit, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think anyone, at least in their right mind, wants to be a failure. All right? I don't think anybody said, you know what, Brother Poussin, you're wrong. I really want to be a failure. All right? I don't think so. Okay? And if you're here, you're nuts. All right? You're crazy. All right, you deserve to be a failure, amen? But no one in their right mind wants to be that, okay? I know I don't, okay? And I believe the natural inclination for all of us is to succeed in life. We do want to prosper. Prosper means to push ahead, to make progress. And by the way, Psalm 35, verse 27, God tells us that he also wants us to prosper. The Bible says there, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I mean, that's a wonderful statement. You know, if you're serving God, God says, you know what? I want you to prosper. I want you to succeed. God wants the best for all of us. He is for us being successful in our Christian lives. And I'm sure you are the same way, but you know, when this life is over, I kind of would like my life to have counted for something worthwhile. I hope you're that way. You know, something worthwhile. I'd like to think that when I get to heaven, I will hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My favorite song, it's our class theme song, is in 507. Lord, my life, Lord, is yours to control. And towards the end there, it talks about hearing the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Here in the passage we read, God tells Joshua how to be successful in life. I'm not saying anything profound tonight, something you already know. Apostle Peter mentioned in his in the book he wrote, he says, you know, there's really nothing new I'm telling you. I'm just saying it by way of remembrance to remind you of things that you already know. Simple message, because I have a simple mind, amen? That's the capacity of it, and so that's all we're going to get. But God tells Joshua how to be a success in his life. And nothing profound, but if we don't follow God's advice, it will result in failure every single time. Every single time. Our lesson tonight is on that word, success. All right, I won't be long, but I hope we get something out of it. That word, success. We'll look at what success is not, and then what success is, according to God. Let me say, first of all, what success is not. Success is not found in possessions. Success is not found in possessions. Sometimes I get the sense that whenever a statement like that is made, people, even Christians, tend to bow up and say, you know, they kind of rebel against that statement. There's a reason why you're rebelling against that statement, okay? Perhaps maybe you're living for possessions. That's the only reason I can think of. But it seems like sometimes you almost sense it, you know. You say something like that, success is not found in possessions. Like, what are you saying? You know, it's like, well, that's what I just said, okay? Let me say it again. Success is never defined by what a person possesses or what a person doesn't possess. That's never been a determination of success. You know, and again, you know, people tense up and say, but what are you saying? Sometimes people say that because they have possessions. And sometimes they think, you know what, because I have possessions, I'm a success. Let me say it again. Having possessions is not success. I'm going to say it until you get mad. All right. I just like doing that to people. That's all. It's just me. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. You know, when you say things like that, you should be able to back it up with the Bible. Amen. And then take it up with God. Don't take it up with the messenger. I'm just a messenger. Okay, the one that wrote the message, you take it up with him. Luke chapter 12, and familiar story to all of us. And he spake a parable unto them, verse 16, Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man had possessions. In fact, the Bible says that he could afford to take it easy for many years. That word many there implies abundance. It's the same word translated sometimes, the word great. It's talking about much. There he had. He says, I can take it easy for a long time. It was not just a couple years he can take it easy and then, you know, back to normal. No, I mean, he was so blessed with the harvest that he says, you know what? I got it easy for a while, for a long time. By the way, in the world's eyes, this man was a success. If he would just be careful with what he had, invest it wisely, plan accordingly, guess what? He is set for life. He can retire early. But God saw things differently. In verse 20, He says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool." What? He said, that's what God said. You see, success is not found in possessions. God looked at all that possession, and by the way, he was a smart man. Yes, he can take it easy for a while if he would just take care of what he had. He had it made. But then God says, "Thou fool." That doesn't sound like success. Actually, that sounds like failure. Again, before you tune me out, God is not saying that having possessions is wrong. But God is saying that success is not found in possessions. You know, sometimes we say things like this, and you know, you say, "Brother Pruson, then you're for being lazy and not doing your best." Of course not. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it what? Do it with thy might." Amen. And so you work hard, and God blesses it, you know, and you get more possessions and all that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go for it. That way, next year we'll have $250,000 in the bucket. Amen. Hey, I'm for that. God is for that. Okay, God is not against possessions. But if you start thinking just because you have things that you're a success, let's think again. That's not where God bases it on. I see, God's viewpoint and the world's viewpoint are two different things. What the world says is success, God oftentimes consider them failures. You know, there used to be a show, I don't know if they even have it now. It's the lifestyles of the what? Of the rich and famous. I think I saw one time they were showing a mansion or something like that. The lifestyles of the rich and famous. I don't know if they still do it, but it's all about glamorizing possessions. Basically, the gist of the story, the show is that, you know what? The more things you have, you are a success. That was it. I mean, that was the moral of the story. I mean, you know, you want to be successful? Be like this guy. Look at his 25-room mansion. You know, and look what he just paid cash for that. Say, whoo, I'm impressed. You know, that was the whole idea. And guess what? Sometimes we're not careful. We buy into that. That, you know what? That must be what it means to be success. Possessions must equal success. I read about Don King. This was years ago. Don, I don't know if he's still alive. I'm not sure. Boxing promoter. And one day he went to an upscale shoe store and bought 110 pairs of shoes for himself and three others. He paid for it, and the receipt was for $64,100. Wow. He's the Imelda Marcus of the United States, I guess. 64 in one shot. I mean, 110 pairs of shoes. Good night. Success. You can just put your credit card in, and $64,100 later, you're still okay. I say, you know what? That's all there. By the way, the store manager said, "Man, that's a record." The only one that ever did something close to that was Magic Johnson, and he only paid $35,000 in one visit for him and his dad. Okay, but see, people look at that and say, "Well, that must be what success." And by the way, it's funny sometimes. I was reading something about this. I don't know if it was football star or baseball. I forgot. I think it was football, but he was being arrested, and he was mouthing off to the police officer and saying, "You know, I make more in one day than you make in one year." You know, if I was the police, I would say, "Yeah, but you know what? You don't get to go home. I do." Woo! Buy your way out of that, amen. But you know that of all things to say, why would you say that? Because you think that's what it means to be successful, to make more in one day than a person makes in one year. Well, that's your idea of success. That's not what God's idea of success. You see, the world looks at that and say, "You know what? That's the life. Just go in a store and buy stuff, whatever it might be." And if we're not careful, we get conditioned to think we're not successful unless we have stuff. And by the way, let me say this as well. Those who are rich, millionaires, rarely do things like Don King and others. You know, the average millionaire, this will shock you, spends $27,000 for their vehicles. $27,000 for their vehicles. Do you know that 60%, 2 out of 3, luxury foreign car buyers can't afford what they're buying? They can't. 1/3 can afford the luxury cars, 2/3 cannot. And by the way, I'm not saying that you go out there later on tonight and you drive a luxury car, that you're one that cannot afford it. Maybe you are, but I'm not saying it. I'm sorry, I'm going to get everybody mad. The pastor's going to come back, say, nobody's here, you're fired. All right. I'm not saying that you drive a luxury car that you can't afford it. I hope you can. You know, but it's interesting that, you know, in general, 60% actually can't afford the car they drive. You know, they look rich, but they're dead broke. You see, again, not saying if you have a luxury car, you're a wannabe rich person. I'm not saying that. Come on, please. That's why you talk about money, and it's like there's a wall up there. And it's like, look, you know what? If you just hear me out, it'll be okay. If you just hear me out and stop putting up the wall and say, he's talking about me now. I mean, good night. I can't have anything now, you know. I mean, you know what? Why don't you just be quiet and let God say something? It'll be all right. You can still keep your stuff. I'm not trying to take away your stuff. Neither is God. Amen. Whoo! Praise God. So I'm not saying if you have a luxury car, you're a wannabe rich person. I'm just saying that many luxury car owners can't afford them. It's funny, you drive down, you know, some run-down neighborhoods, these run-down apartment buildings, and guess what's in the driveway? You say, wow, look at that Mercedes-Benz. Good night. You know, that's probably why they can't afford a nicer place to live. They have to pay for that thing. Or Beamers. Some of you guys are laughing because you know that's true. I mean, it's like, good night. You're driving down this beat-up road and beat-up apartment complexes and say, what's the nice cars doing here? Okay? Who's paying? Well, I just thought of something. They got their money some other way. Amen. Maybe a police will come by someday and get it. All right. But you know, again, please, I'm not saying you can't have stuff. I'm just saying that the average millionaire don't even drive those luxury cars. You know, favorite cars of millionaires, let me tell you this. It's a Ford, Bruce Chilton. A Ford. Pickup truck. F-150. I think it was Sam Walton that drove a beat-up Ford truck. That was his truck. He was one of the richest men that ever lived. All right? That's probably why he was the richest man that ever lived. He didn't spend money for these luxury cars. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, that's the average. You know, Toyota Camry. That is a favorite of millionaires. So if you're driving a Toyota Camry, man, you are a millionaire. Or you just look like a millionaire, amen? And so you want to look like a millionaire? Drive a Camry. Get a beat-up pickup truck. And drive around like you say, yeah, man, I'm somebody. Don't mess with me. I got money. No, you don't. All right. This was about 10 years ago. But the most expensive suit a millionaire buys cost around $400. Many of them buy them at JCPenney. You see, most millionaires don't look like millionaires. But many people who look like millionaires are broke. Again, this is not saying that we cannot have nice stuff. See, that's the thing. You're saying, bro, person, what do you mean? I can't have stuff. No, I'm not saying that. That's why I don't say it. And don't think it. Wait till I'm done. Hey, man. That way you can listen to the rest of the message instead of getting mad right now. No, I'm not saying you can't have it. Hey, man. I'm not saying you cannot have nice stuff. But having nice stuff does not mean success. Many are in debt because they want to look successful. Turn to Proverbs, please, if you don't mind. I want to show you this verse. That way you don't think I'm making it up. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 9.
Proverbs 12, verse 9. In verse 8, it talks about the perverse man who is despised, a perverse man, a wicked man. And then in verse 9, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 9, he that is despised, that's the man in verse 8, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. He that is despised, but you know what? He lives within his means. He can afford what he has. He says, it's better than somebody that honoreth himself, makes himself look better than how he really is. Honoreth himself and lacketh bread. It is better to be able to afford what you have, even though the Bible says you're despised, than to try to make yourself look successful and be hungry. That's what he's saying. Honoring yourself, you wear the fancy stuff, you drive the nice car, you live in the expensive house, but you're dead broke, everything is on a credit card, and you're hoping they give you another offer in the mail so that you can max that out too, to cover for the other credit cards that you've maxed out already. And then hopefully by the time you max that one out, you get another credit card in the mail and max that one out too. That's what it's talking about. You honor yourself, but you're dead broke. You see, you can't eat a Mercedes-Benz. You can't eat a Rolex watch. You can't eat that big screen TV. It may look good, but you can't eat it. You need to do just sell those things and put food in the refrigerator and live within your means. Amen. Again, please don't get mad, all right? Who's mad right now? Raise your hand. Come on. I won't do anything. Who's mad? Just be honest. Are you mad? Good. You're all happy. That's good. All right. So, we're not against things. Amen? Do we have that? Do we understand that now? We are not against having things. Okay? God blesses you because you work hard for it. What I don't like is people that don't work. They get paid by people who work and enjoy bigger television sets than I do in my house. That's something else. Amen? So you can get mad. I don't care. All right. So we're not against things. But things are not what makes a person a success in God's eyes. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So that's very clear. All right? So that's not what life is all about. It's not about possessions. I know people that won't come to church anymore because they are going after possessions. That's why I guess I'm preaching, but you're here in church, so praise the Lord for that. But you know what? This is preventative. Don't think about it. All right? Don't think about doing that because that's not what success is. If a year from now you're no longer found in church, you're no longer serving God because now you're chasing money and you're chasing possession, guess what? You have now become a failure. You say, Barpusan, that's strong words. I know it is, but it's Bible. It's Bible. All right? We're all mature, amen? We can take it. We can take the Bible. We're not a kumbaya church. You know, we get offended. Okay, I'm so offended. Get over it. Hey, man. So what success is not? Success is not found in possessions. Success is not found in position. Pharaoh was the ruler of Egypt, but God said, you're a failure. All right? God destroyed them. A title does not make us successful. Again, don't rebel against that. Okay? I'm not saying you should not do your best at work, and I'm not saying that you should not take promotions. Okay? You say, well, they're going to make me vice president of whatever and all that. Well, take it, man. If it brings glory to God, take it. Do it. Work hard for it. Amen? Beat out the next guy. All right? And then rub it in. No, just kidding. We don't do that. That's not Christian. All right. But again, I'm just saying that success is not found in a title. Some people live to have the title. You know, I'm the CEO, I'm the president, I'm a doctor, I have a PhD, I have a master's, I have a bachelor's, I have a GED. Amen. I have that. You know, I'm somebody. I'm a successful man. You know what? Work for it. Earn it. Big titles or position, by the way, however, is not success. All right? Again, don't block it off, all right? I'm not saying possessions, you can't have possessions, you can't have positions. I mean, you know, you just got to be dead broke and, you know, don't go to school. I'm not saying that. Do your best, God said. Whatever the hand finds it to do, whatever opportunities God has given in your hand, do your best. It's not an excuse to be lazy. It's not an excuse to not do your best. But success is not in possessions. It's not in position. Success is not found in prestige. That is the respect of people. You know, the Pharisees were respected leaders of their day. In Matthew 23, and starting in verse 23, Jesus was talking to them. Verse 23, he calls them hypocrites. Verse 24, he calls them ye blind guides. Verse 25, he calls them again hypocrites. Verse 26, he says, thou blind Pharisee. Verse 27, he calls them hypocrites. You appear beautiful outward. Verse 28, he says, you outwardly appear righteous, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Verse 29, Jesus again calls them hypocrites. Verse 33, Jesus calls them serpents, ye generations of vipers. Those are mighty strong words to the religious leaders of the day, the well-respected people of the day. And yet God called them the way it is. He says, you're hypocrites. You look good on the outside, but inside. You see, prestige is not success. If people respect you, fine. But you know what? Yeah, whether they respect you or not, that's not success in God's eyes. Luke 16:15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. And then he says this, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Yeah, it's amazing how many people live for the approval of man instead of God's approval. We're talking about God's people. They want to look good in front of people of this world instead of trying to look good in front of God. Success is not in what? Possessions. Success is not in position. And success is not in prestige, the respect of men. So what is success? If you turn back to Joshua 1, again, nothing deep, but something's always been there. Joshua and chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is success? Success is doing the will of God for our lives and doing it for a lifetime. That's it. Success is doing the will of God for our lives and doing it for a lifetime. By the way, you don't need possession to do that. You don't need position to do that. You don't need prestige to do that. Anybody can be a success. Amen. Anybody can be a success in God's eyes. As long as you do the will of God for your life and do it a lifetime. And God says that is success. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's as simple as that. There is no successful life apart from doing God's will for our lives. There is none. If we're disobedient to God, if we fall away from our service to God, if we no longer serve God like we used to, and no longer are close to God, guess what? God says that's not success. See, one can be a doctor and a lawyer or a high-end occupation and be away from God's will for his or her life. That person, according to God, is a failure. But you don't know, Brother Bruson. Look at the houses they have and look at the yachts that they have. Look at their bank account. If they're not doing the will of God for their lives, those things are nothing to God. Amen. That's why people, Christians, you know, flaunt their materialism and say, you know what, look what I did since I did this. But you're away from God. How is that success? Amen. You see, but again, nothing wrong with being those things. But possession and position and prestige is never success. Lazarus had nothing, but he was a success. He was a success compared to that rich man, of whom he begged food. The rich man went to hell because he was not rich toward God. He did not trust in God, but Lazarus did. You see, so you look at Lazarus, a man, a beggar, and you know, it's all sores and all that. How can that be success? Well, in God's eyes, he was. You see, by the way, Abraham, who was rich, was not a success because he was rich. He was a success because he believed and obeyed God. He was called the friend of God. That's why he was successful. God never said about Abraham, you know what, you're a success because you have all these flocks and herds. I mean, you have a lot of things. No. It's because I know that he will order his household right. He obeyed God. He believed God when it was hard to believe in God. He trusted in God. You see, that's why he was a success. All throughout the Word of God, successful people were not successful because of what they had. They were successful because they lived for God, because they pleased God. Hebrews 11, you know, the chapter there, the chapter of faith and people that pleased God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you read that chapter and you will find men and women whom God approved of. The Bible says they had a good report with God. You see, but God did not, they did not win the approval of God because of what they had. It's because of what they did for God. And because they served him faithful unto death. Amen. So college student, let me speak to you. Christian school student, young adults and older adults, let's get it out of our heads that success is found in anything else but doing the will of God for our lives. You know, not all of us will be in full-time Christian ministry. But you know what? All of us can serve God a lifetime. All of us can serve God a lifetime. All of us can be faithful to church a lifetime. All of us can be faithful to the Word of God a lifetime. All of us can be faithful to soul winning and reaching the lost with the gospel for a lifetime. All of us can give to the offering plate for a lifetime. All of us can be faithful to God for a lifetime. All of us can do that. If God calls you into full-time Christian ministry, praise God. If he doesn't, guess what? You be in church. You're watching right now. You're not in church, and you know you're not right with God. Welcome. You still come back. It's fine. Stop living for that money. Amen. I've written you a lot of notes. Please come to Sunday school. Listen to it. Amen. I didn't tell you who it was, all right? We don't do that here. But they know who they are. Amen. You know, that's it. That's what life is. Life is about Jesus. Life is about serving him. That's all what life is. Life is not about money. It's not about position. It's not about prestige. If your hard work and your talent gets you those things, praise God, use it for God. But it's all about God, amen? It's all about Jesus, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And it's all about him until the day we die. It's all about him until the day of the rapture. It's all about him, amen? It's all about him. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's all about him. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, there's a God in heaven. Do we believe that, sir, ma'am? There is a God in heaven. And one of these days, we're going to stand before that God. Amen. And it's not going to matter much what position you had. It's not going to matter much what possessions you had. It's not going to matter much what prestige you had among people. All that's going to matter is what you've done for Christ and what I did for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a God in heaven. We'll stand before him one day, maybe today, and give an account of how we served him. Stop playing with this nonsense. Should I live for the world? No! You should not live for the world. No! Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That was not a commendation of Demas. That was a condemnation of Demas. He chose the world instead of a life lived for God. Not all of us are going to be full-time Christian service, but we can all be full-time Christians and live for God. Give me, Father, a purpose deep. In joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. By the way, as you try to serve God, troubles may come. Heartaches may come. Difficulties may come. But just be faithful, amen? Just be faithful. God will see us through. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn from the word. Now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I hear that call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. The world has nothing to offer that can compare to the life that is lived for God. The world has nothing to offer. Name me one that the world can offer that God cannot conquer. That God cannot give you more. There is nothing. This world passeth away. But the things we do for God lives on for eternity. Solomon had everything. He set his eyes on. Nothing was withheld from him. At the end of Ecclesiastes, he said this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's our purpose. Do the will of God. Live for God. Don't live for this world. We won't regret it, because there is a God. There is a God. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's live life so we can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Whatever God has for your life, just do it and serve him faithfully a lifetime. Would you bow your heads, please? Would you please stand? Brother G, would you mind conducting the invitation? We'll have somebody play the piano. If God has spoken to your heart, use the altar. Give him your life. Let's not live for this world. Let's live for God.